Chapter 11, Mohammedanism, the Power of a Militant Religion. As we observed in the first chapter of this book, all of nature and the entire universe is governed by law. The entire universe, including our little world, is governed by the laws of nature, which are universal, which are fixed, inflexible, and forever the same. Among these laws of nature are the laws of survival of the species, which also apply most decidedly to the races of mankind. Many races of mankind have come and gone and are no more. Some are dying out before our very eyes today. All these species, including the races of mankind, have their own peculiar means of defense and aggression, including the different species of parasites. Among the races of mankind, we have a highly developed species of parasite known as the Eternal Jew. One of the outstanding peculiarities the Jew has developed most highly for his own survival is the art of deceit, conniving, and trickery. The Jew is the undisputed master of deceit. Being the masterful parasite that he is, he has developed the art of religion as his most powerful weapon to deceive, to control, to enslave, to exploit, to plunder, and destroy. The Jew is not only a master of the lie and a skillful manipulator of propaganda, but he realized early in his history, thousands of years ago, what a powerful weapon is religion. Religion is a powerful tool in uniting a race in a common purpose. The Jews achieved this for their own people. They have also used religion to destroy their enemies. And in this respect, the most overwhelming achievement in the history of mankind was their invention of Christianity to destroy the Romans. The Jew, in short, has invented the Old Testament in order to unify his own race, give them a common tradition and purpose, and give them a meaningful program with which to plunder and destroy all other races. In order to do the latter more successfully, the Jew also gave some of these other races, especially the white race, a religion, namely Christianity, whose creed would do just the opposite to their victims that Judaism had done for the Jews. He gave the white race a creed that would confuse and confound them, divide, fragmentize, and disintegrate them, making them soft prey for the rapacious Jew. The fact that he has actually been successful in this fantastic conspiracy is the best proof possible that he has patiently and carefully planned to bring this about. As to how he has brought this about, we have already piled up massive evidence in previous chapters, and we will continue to do so in the succeeding pages. We have also cited that wonderful white civilization of the grandeur that was Rome, how Rome conquered the world and stood supreme and unchallenged. We have shown that Rome had an unprecedented period of 200 years of peace and progress, known as Pax Romana, when the destructive Judeo-Christian philosophy began to spread its disintegrating virus through the Roman Empire. History tells us that by the year 313 AD, Emperor Constantine became the first Christian emperor, and at that time decreed Christianity to be the official religion of the empire. We have seen how the Romans, who fell for this suicidal advice and became fanatic Christians, no longer had the will to defend their homes, their country, or their empire, and that in another century and a half, by the year 476 AD, the Roman Empire had completely crumbled and fallen apart. We also know that, with the advent of Christianity, the white race, including the ruins of the Roman Empire and all of Europe, fell into 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. Having heaped this horrible catastrophe on the once proud and powerful Roman Empire, the Jews were not content to leave the white race there, as they had helped to mongrelize the Egyptian civilization 1,000 years previously. They now wanted to make sure that they would mongrelize the whole white race in Europe and destroy it forever. In order to do this, they concocted a third religion, namely Mohammedanism. It is more than a coincidence that Judaism, Christianity, and Mohammedanism all originate in a relatively small area of Asia extending from Palestine to adjoining Saudi Arabia, or in other words, from Jerusalem to Mecca. Jews, as Benjamin Franklin has pointed out, are Asiatics. This small area, inhabited by Semites, lying east of the Mediterranean and the Red Sea, has spawned three religions, all of which have had an overwhelming and disastrous influence on the white race. Whether Muhammad was a Jew or not, history is not too clear. There is so little difference between the Semitic Jew and the Semitic Arab, except for their religion, that it is hard to tell them apart. Muhammad was a Semite, that we know, before he became the prophet and founder of the Muslim religion. He was married to an extremely wealthy widow who was Jewish. That the Jewish race as a whole had a major part in creating and promoting the spread of Mohammedanism is not only borne out by the ensuing events, but is loudly proclaimed by the Jews themselves. It is our purpose here to show how they welded Mohammedanism into a powerful instrument in order to further pursue their age-old goal of mongrelizing and destroying the white race. We have seen how Jewish Christianity succeeded in tearing the Roman Empire apart and leaving it in shambles, and that by the year 476 AD, Rome as such was no more. But what happened in the next few centuries following the collapse of Rome? It was during this time the white race was probably at the weakest and most disintegrated stage it has been in for thousands of years. The persistent and treacherous Jew did not want to let this golden opportunity pass in dealing the white race its final death blow, if possible. What did he do? He rallied and organized replace the colored races with a new, aggressive, and violent religion that was the very opposite from what he had injected and disseminated throughout the bloodstream of the white race. Whereas he had conjured up a religion to inflict upon the Romans, which told them to turn the other cheek, to love your enemies, to sell what thou hast, and give it to the poor, to resist not evil, and to judge not, lest ye be judged. He gave the Arabs a dynamic religion, which was the very antithesis of all this. At the very time when the white race was at its most confused and disintegrated stage in history, the Muslim religion came out with a fierce and aggressive philosophy that inspired its adherents to conquer and convert by the sword. The followers of this virulent new religion were told that heaven was a beautiful green garden of bliss. Here the soul of the believer, dressed in green robes, lolled on green cushions, enjoyed forgiveness, fruit, wine, and service by beautiful maidens, described as black-eyed, well-rounded of hip, and buxom bosoms. The converts were told that if they died in battle, they would immediately go to such a blissful heaven. This inspired the Arabs with such fervent zeal that they rushed into battle, caring little whether they were killed or not. These desert tribes now fired with such fanatic religious zeal, spread Islam from India to Spain, Egypt, Syria, Asia Minor, North Africa, Spain, and Constantinople, fell before the advance of the Muslim Empire. The Arab wars swept on victoriously and moved upward from Spain into the heart of France, and might have conquered all of white Europe. It is only by the grace of Providence that in 732 the great white hero Karl Martel defeated the Arabs at the Battle of Tours in France, and thereby prevented the conquest of all of Europe. How different might have been the history of Western Europe had the Muslims conquered. Nevertheless, they did conquer Spain, and brought with them the black Moors of Africa and the Semitic blood of the Arabs. It was not until 1492 that Isabella, the heroic white queen of Spain, finally drove them out. This was a great year for Spain. Not only did Queen Isabella succeed in driving out the Moors from Spain, but also in the same year she expelled the Jews from Spain, and Columbus sailed for America. Having driven out the Moors and the Jews, Spain then began the greatest and grandest period of her history, and the next 100 years can be considered as the golden age of Spain. Nevertheless, the damage had been done. The almost 1,000 years of Moorish tenure in Spain and Portugal had permanently contaminated the bloodstream of those two unfortunate nations, and the lasting damage is apparent in their racial stock to this day. It is my conviction that the Jews had planned to inspire the Arab conquests to sweep over all of Europe and to pollute all the Western nations of Europe with the black blood of Africa. That they did not succeed in this, we can all thank our lucky stars, and thank Karl Martel, a heroic white leader, for his historic stand at the Battle of Tours. The Byzantine Empire, with its capital of Constantinople, was the surviving eastern half of the Roman Empire after the 6th century. It survived almost 1,000 years after the western half, with Rome at its head, had crumbled. The reason why it did survive was that it took a strong stand against the Jewish influence within its empire. It forbade the Jews to have any participation in government, or education, or medicine, and in many other fields strictly limited their influence. Nevertheless, by 1453, the Turks, who were at this time part of the Muslim Empire, did conquer Constantinople, and therewith ended the Byzantine Empire, and with it the white predominance in Asia Minor. We can learn from this Muslim surge of power what a tremendous influence and aggressive, well-directed religion can have on a scattered and disorganized group of people, even though they may be as backward as were the Arab tribes of North Africa and Arabia. Given a religion that united and rallied this amorphous mass of Arab and Bedouin tribes, it laid the foundation for the rise of an Arab empire. Not only did it build a huge empire that spread as a continuous belt from the coasts of Western Africa to the Philippine Islands, but Muslims are most numerous in North Africa, the Near and Middle East, India, and Southeast Asia. They also live in large compacts. The numbers in the Caucasus, Soviet Central Asia, and in China. Even in Europe, there are about 3 million Muslims living almost exclusively in the Balkan Peninsula. Not only did Muhammad found a new religion, of which the Quran is the holy book, but he built a Muslim empire, and with it, a whole Arabian culture that survives to this day. Islam is followed by 1/5 of all mankind, and it is continually making new converts at a rate faster than that of any other major religion. I cannot emphasize too strongly what a tremendous fountain of energy religion can create when it is matched properly to the people that embrace it. Let the white race learn this lesson again, and learn it well.